Okay, we're finishing up on our discipleship series, which we started in the summer. And since summer sometimes goes a little bit longer, we went a little bit longer. We've been looking at the steps of growth that we use, and we talked a little bit about what it means to be a disciple, just a little bit more of a committed life to the Lord, and what that entails. There's a lot of things that it entails. We're not trying to oversimplify. But when it comes to just as a new Christian or new in a church, steps to take. Okay, and so we've kind of boiled it down to the 8 steps for us to help you to get going as you're growing in the Lord. Of course, we said number one, it starts with salvation. Of course, everything starts with salvation. You grow through devotion, connection to others through your adult Bible class, commitment to the church by membership, personal discipleship, practical giving, and then we finished up serving others in the church. Now, we're going to start number 8 and the last one. Sharing Christ in this world. Sharing Christ in this world. Now, we call it soul winning. Okay? Soul winning. For the righteous a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Why do you call it soul winning? Because as we saw in the first lesson of salvation, when you're unsaved, your soul is dead in sin. Okay, it's dead. And when someone, you can talk to someone about the Lord and they get saved, their soul, which was dead in sin, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, was now quickened. It was brought back to life. It was, as John chapter 3 tells us, born again. And so you've won that soul, which was on its way to hell. Now he's saved and is on his way to heaven. Some call it evangelism. We'll talk about evangelism a bit later. When I think of evangelism, I think of it as encompassing all the steps of the Great Commission, not just sharing the gospel, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So what does it mean, sharing Christ in this world? It's really telling others what it means to be a Christian. That's basically what it is. If you go out, you ever see the Watchtower Society? Jehovah's Witnesses. If you go out, we've been up to Brother Bichardo's, and our families went through their vacation. We've been to San Francisco, and you go down to Fisherman's Wharf, Pier 39, whatever that is called. If you go down there, there's always a bunch of goofballs there. You know what I'm saying? You ever see the guy that paints himself silver? I always walk by those people. I'm like, you should have went to college. Okay, they stand on the street painted in silver, and they say things. And there's one guy. We love this guy. He's on the other side of the street, and he hides behind a trash can. He has a branch that covers himself. Now, how many of you have seen him? You can see him, but people are not paying attention. And as people, now I wouldn't do this. Someone's probably going to slap him one day. And as they come up, he'll just jump up and put the leaf in their face and go, ah! And they jump and scream. We were sitting there, we were walking down the street, we were looking for my wife, and it's like, where's she at? She was standing there filming people, getting scared, and she was having the time of her life. And I'm like, someone's going to get mad at this guy. But all those crazies over there, there's always going to be Jehovah's Witnesses over there. And they're sitting there with their little watchtowers or whatever, and they're talking. But if you meet somebody and they tell you you're a Jehovah's Witness, ask them, what do you believe? What does it mean to be a Jehovah's Witness? And I guarantee you, most of them will be able to tell you what it means. If a Mormon comes to your door, you know, or you meet a Mormon, they're going to be able to tell you what they believe and what the differences between you and them are. Now, they're not going to be completely honest because that would freak you out. Okay, they're not going to tell you that the goal in Mormonism is for you to become a god and have your own planet. Okay, how many of you'd like that? You wouldn't want to live on my planet. There wouldn't be very many people. There definitely would be no liberals, all right? But it's like, you know, that's their goal. And ladies, you get to be pregnant for all eternity and have babies. That doesn't sound like heaven. That sounds a lot like the other place. But they know what they believe. The sad thing is, the majority of Christians don't know. You can go to the average Christian and say, what does it mean to be a Christian? And the average Christian would say, they wouldn't be able to tell you. By the way, we're commanded by the Bible to be able to tell people, right? Okay? And so that's what it means. That's what sharing the good news is. We have got to be able to tell somebody what it means. And by the way, that's why Christians fall for all kinds of nonsense. And that's why a vast majority of people who call themselves Christians aren't really Christians. Because they've been influenced and reached by a person or a church that really doesn't know the gospel very well. And they're churchians. And so it's very important that we understand it, or else we can't help them. It's like the phrase we always use in our one-by-one training for the very first class. What is soul winning? It's doing for others what somebody did for you. I like that little phrase. It's doing for others what somebody did for you. If you're saved today, somebody shared the gospel with you. Someone let you know what it means to trust Christ. When you go soul winning, what you're doing is you're doing the exact same thing. You're going to that person and you're sharing to them what somebody in the past shared with you about how they can meet Jesus Christ. It's a natural result, or should be, a natural result of meeting Jesus ourselves. Just be natural. Okay, look at these verses. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus was going, traveling, and he went. He took the long road to go through Samaria because he knew there was a lady there he needed to witness to. He met this lady at the well. He starts talking to her. And he starts talking to her, and then she starts getting interested in the things he's talking about himself and the living water and how she can have eternal life. And she wanted the water, and he says, go get your husband. And she goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, I know you had five of them, and the guy you're living with now, you're not married to. And so she's like, wow, you're a prophet. Yeah, he was. And she meets Christ. But look what happens. Verse 28 of John chapter 4, the verses are there. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come. Why'd she talk to the men? She's probably married to most of them. But anyhow, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Then he says this. She says this. Is not this to Christ? She goes, what she's saying is, you need to come meet him. He's telling me everything. He's got to be the Christ, the Messiah that was promised to come. Verse 40. One of the two which heard Jesus speak and followed him in John chapter 1 was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. This is in the early days of Christ's ministry. And so Andrew starts following him. So what did he do? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Right off the bat, he goes, I've met the Christ, I've met the Messiah. So the first thing he does, he goes and gets his brother and brings him to Christ. That should be the natural reaction. If you got saved and you're ready and you got saved and you're going to go for it, the natural thing is, why wouldn't we want to tell people, and as Andrew did, particularly those whom you are closest to? Amen. They're the first ones. Yep. When I got right with God and started going to church, I was going and so I took my mom and my aunt and my grandmother with me. We all lived in the same area there. And within a couple weeks of going, I didn't know how to talk to them. The pastor's wife came by and went down to my grandmother. My aunt lived down the street. They got saved, and then they called my mom and said, pastor's wife coming. You better be ready. And so I happened to be home, and pastor's wife came, and my mom got saved. And then so we were all going to church, and then we invited my Uncle Jim and my aunt Judy. My Aunt Judy comes. My Uncle Jim passed away. They started coming. My Aunt Judy was already saved. My Uncle Jim wouldn't. We talked to him about salvation, but he wouldn't get saved. We even had Pastor Black over and talked to him, and he's like, "I know you're right, but I just can't do it." And then he was driving on the freeway, and he was eating something, and he started to choke. And he just thought to himself, "Man, and I didn't get saved." He was able to do like a little Heimlich maneuver on himself and spit it out. And then he contacted Brother Black and said, "You need to come back here." And Brother Black came back, he got saved. Okay, we call that hot dog evangelism or something. And so he got saved, and then just started checking on my other family members. And then my aunts, a couple of my aunts started coming. Next thing you know, we had like two pews of our relatives every Sunday mornings sitting there in church, because some were getting saved and now they're inviting others and the gospel's getting out. And so that's what a new convert should do. That's just a natural. And then it goes out from there. Why is it so important? Okay, let me just give you a few points here. Larry, very simple. It's Jesus' last command. It's Jesus' last command. In all the Gospels and in the book of Acts, which are the historical books of the New Testament, okay, then you get into the epistles and then you get to the back to the prophecy. But in the historical books, in one form or another, the Great Commission is mentioned. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. We know this one. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we know that one very well. Mark chapter 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 47, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands on his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He appears to them, now they know it's Christ. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm sending you out now. And then in Acts, right before Jesus physically goes back to earth, he tells them, look at verse 8. And when they therefore were come together and asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They wanted the kingdom of God. They were tired of the Roman rule and oppression. And sometimes they got a little, so like, Jesus, are you going to do that now? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white raiment, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I always find that amusing. Like, why are you looking up into heaven? Jesus just flew away. That's pretty significant. I think that's a good reason to look into heaven. But he's trying to get their attention. Why look ye up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you to heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Okay? And so all the gospel, we say, listen, your task, one of your primary tasks, your purpose, while you're here, is to go out and preach the gospel to everybody. Get the word out. And all of these, the gospels, they're all in the last chapter except for John. It's in the second to the last chapter. And in Acts, it's stated at the beginning, but that's when Jesus went back into heaven. It's the very last thing he said. So it's a big deal to Jesus. And it's one of the primary reasons we're left on this earth. He didn't leave earth without reminding them of why they were still here. You're here to get the word out. And the reason you and I are here tonight is because there's been people for the past 2,000 years that have obeyed that command and have shared the gospel, and it's continued on, and it's continued on, and it's continued on until someone brought it to you. Now, it needs to continue on if this world were to last for 2,000 more years, which I seriously doubt. But if it did, the only way it's going to get out 2,000 years from now is if the Christians of today will continue to get it out like they're supposed to. Letter B, it was Christ's last command. Letter B, it's our first priority. Someone has said his last command is our first priority. looking at things in order of importance. Look, when you look at your life, you may not have a list, but you kind of balance your life out by what's priority, what's important to you, okay? And that should be no different. A church is not a social club. So many of them are. It's a place to gather, have your conscience cleared, have a good time, and get out of town, okay? That's not the purpose. Now, I like to gather. You like to gather. We do have a good time. We do get to fellowship, but we're here for a purpose. Yep. When we leave those doors, like the sign says out there, you are entering the mission field. People here need to be saved, okay? And people you meet every day need to get saved. So it's our first priority. We are responsible as individuals to do this. Look at 1 Peter 3:5. But satisfy the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now I told you, if someone comes up to you or any other Christian and says, what does it mean to be a Christian? How'd you become a Christian? You are duty bound by the word of God to know what to tell them. You got to know. You say, I'm not proficient about it. You should have came to one by one a month and a half ago. Okay? But I guarantee you, if you go out soul winning with someone in our church on our Tuesday nights or coming out on Saturday, I guarantee you, you'll get it. Yep. I didn't learn soul winning by a training class. Now, I went to a training class about 9 months after I was in church. But I learned it earlier than that. I wanted to learn how to do it. So, Johnny Esposito happened to be in town. He wasn't living in the area. I don't know how I connected with him, but he gave me an outline. It was a little typed outline of the gospel with the verses. So I cut it out. I got me a New Testament and I taped it on the inside of my New Testament because I was clueless as what to do. And then even the prayer was there. Now I know the prayer doesn't save people. They have to believe in their heart. We're just helping them to verbalize that. But I knew nothing. And the first convert was my brother-in-law's mom, Helga. And I went over there and I had a New Testament. We came to soul winning and they did a little bit different. And we came to a Thursday night soul winning and visitation. And we sat in the meeting and everybody got up and left. And my brother-in-law and I, who were brand new Christians, he got saved like right when I started. My brother, oh, I forgot. And he was part of that group too. My sister, who had been saved before, came back to church. And my brother-in-law came with us, got saved and baptized. And so we're sitting there together and we're clueless. Like, what do we do? Like, everybody left. It's like, I don't know. It's like, let's go visit your mom and let's talk to her. So we went and talked to her, and I opened up that New Testament, and I'm like, all right, Helga, we set the dinner table, and point one, and I looked in the front. It says you're a sinner, okay? And we looked at the verses, and I tried to explain it the best I could, and I said, okay, you get that? She goes, I understand. Okay, let me see. Point two, went back to the front. Whoa! It says, here, you're going to hell. And I probably didn't say it the best way. I just read it, and I'm like, the verses, like, there it is, fire right there. That is scary. And we talked about, you believe, oh, I believe that. Okay. Hey, we got some good news happening here. It says, number three, Jesus came to pay the price for your sin. And it got better. And I just read the verses, and I went up, and I made a few comments. And when I got done, I looked up, and she was crying. Probably because I did such a horrible job, all right? It's like, this poor kid. And I'm like, do you want to trust Christ? And she said, I do. And she got saved that night. And so we went out. We just took it out. Now, not all of our soul winning visits were like that. We actually went out one Thursday. We got stuck by ourselves again, and we found an address of someone who visited the church, and we didn't know what to say. And we went there, and we tried to talk to him. My brother-in-law, who was really a novice, the lady said, yeah, I used to go to church in the South, you know, and all they talked about was sin. And he goes, oh, yeah, our pastor thinks everything is sin. And I'm like, okay, that's probably not what we're looking for here. But the point is, we took it seriously that we were supposed to go out. And so we did. It was our responsibility. And we did the best we could. And so we need to know. You're responsible to know. It's our responsibility. So we have two options. Are you ready? This isn't brain surgery. Do it in obedience. But that's pretty simplistic, right? Do it in obedience. Or, reject it in disobedience. Now, you can make excuses. Those don't fly with God. We had a guy come here one time, and I was talking with my office, and he's like, we were talking about some things in the church. He was asking about our church, and he goes, well, he was already a Christian. He goes, you know, I don't do that whole soul winning. I don't know what he called it. I don't think he called it soul winning. We don't do that whole thing. I don't do that whole thing. He goes, I'll do the other things. I pay others to do that. And I'm like, well, you know, let's just go ahead and just tell him the truth up front, right? It's like, that doesn't work. You can't pay your way out of it. He said, but Brother Myers, I'll pay for the new building if you tell me I don't have to go soul winning. Pay for the new building first and then tell me that afterwards, okay? Because I'm going to have to tell you that doesn't work. Okay, you can't pay your way. Well, you know, I have a different gift. I'm good in the nursery. I'll work in the nursery. Amen. Do that. Change diapers. But you got to tell people about the Lord. I mean, it's important. And it's not really an option. That doesn't mean you need to go to work tomorrow and jump up on the lunch table and say, listen up, pagans, repent, for the time is at hand. You know, where we used to have a guy, he probably heard him, he never comes, it's been years. Some of you old timers remember. He used to come in, he's a truck driver. He comes in and he has his shirt, turn or burn. You know, try or fry, all that stuff. There's a frying pan and someone sizzling. Listen, that's not the best way to get the gospel out. See, we're not the ones that make them feel convicted. That's where our problem is a lot of the time. We feel like we have to win them. And when we feel like we are the only thing that wins them, we're going to manipulate them. You don't manipulate or coerce anybody to be a Christian. Do you know that? Okay? Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's referring back to the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Hello? You tell somebody, it's like, so I don't believe the Bible. Tell them what the Bible says anyhow, because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And long after what you said is like floating away out of their mind, the scripture that you told them is going to convict their soul. When I got saved, I had been witnessed to several times, and I hadn't gotten saved. But I'll tell you what, when I was at home at night by myself, God was convicting me because I knew his truth. They told me the truth. No one was in my room saying, you're on your way to hell, but I knew it because someone had told it to me. And I ruminated. I thought about it on it a while. So when I went to church on that Easter Sunday and they had an invitation that says, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you need to come down here. We'll show you. And I'm not the type just to do that, but I'm sitting on the aisle all the way in the back with my friend. He wasn't Pastor Esposito, Joe Esposito. And I'm like, I need to go up there. He goes, I think you do too. I said, will you come with me? He goes, you can go. He didn't even go with me. I had to go myself. And I walked down there. Listen, when that guy took me outside, he didn't have to say very much. I already knew. Someone had told me, and that just got me. So it's our responsibility, and you don't have to be a salesman. Hey, how you doing? How'd you like the greatest deal that ever lived? Do you like to buy a house for free? It's a mansion. Okay, that's cute. But people need to know the truth. If you tell them what the scripture says lovingly, it'll convict them. By the way, if you ever have talked to somebody, you'll share with them, like, hey, the Bible says we're all sinners. And they may squirm a little bit, but they'll usually admit to that, right? Because, duh, we all know that. And then you start talking about the wages of sin is death and hell. That's when they want to ask a question. Hey, you know, I used to go to this church 20 years ago, and they it's nothing related to what you're saying. Yeah, how many of you ever had that happen, right? I have a question. You know, they're not asking you that because they want to know the answer. That means God's speaking to them, and they're trying to talk about something else to kind of get the conviction away. You just say, listen, we'll discuss that later. Let's finish this first. You want to stay on the point. That means God's talking to him, not you. Now, you're talking to him. Don't get me wrong. And I think we ought to be passionate about it. I think we ought to tell them the truth. And I think we ought to ask them to make a commitment to Christ. But we cannot force them. It's our responsibility our part is to share, okay? It's the priority. And what happens when we share, people will listen. Matthew chapter 4. We'll go over this and we'll be done. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, now, they had met Christ already before, and then they're fishing. He's going back for them. Remember in John chapter 1. But he says unto them, follow me. Now he's asking for more of a commitment. And I'll make you fishers of men. He says, it's time to leave your job. Come with me and let's go win the world. Okay? And they straightway left their tents and followed him. Huh. He asked them to do something more significant than what they were doing. By the way, when you're witnessing to somebody, you're doing something that's extremely significant. Okay? You know, people talk about changing the world. I heard the story of Steve Jobs. He hired the CEO of I think it was Pepsi, to come run Apple Computer because when it started to grow, and he interviewed him, and the guy was waffling. He just looked at him and goes, listen. He goes, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water, or you want to come change the world? Now, it was a bad fit, and he ended up, both of them, getting fired from the company. But people want to change the world with all kinds of nonsense. This is how you really change the world. Yep. Okay? Share the gospel. Do something significant. But what these verses, he's telling them two things we should ask. If we are following Jesus, will we be fishers of men? Yes or no? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So if you are following Jesus, you will be a fisher of men. You'll be interested in others. You're saying, I buy into every part of the Christian life except that. And by the way, don't ever say this, and I'm not getting on you, I'll tell you why. Don't ever say, you know, that talking to people about the gospel, that's one thing I could never do. I can guarantee you this with almost 100% certainty. Just about every person I can ever remember, whenever we talk about soul winning and signing up for that ever said, you know, I can do everything, I just can't do that. Almost every person I can remember who tells me that, they come out and they love doing it. See, because it's not you. Listen, if I go out and I talk to somebody, I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, blah, 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 blah. And like, I don't want that. No. Get out of here. Okay. Look, they didn't reject me. Okay? They rejected somebody else. I remember one time I was soul winning over here in Long Beach, and I was knocked on one door, and there was a 20-year-old guy or whatever. He got saved. And I thought, well, that's great. And I went to the next door, and there was this kid, I think he was like 18, and man, he listened intently, was polite the whole nine yards, and I'm like, hey, two for two, door by, again, both of them. And when I said, man, would you like to trust Christ? He goes, no. And I'm like, wow. That I was bummed, because I'm like, the whole time I'm like, he's in. I just got to get it done, you know? And I'm like, why? And I sat there for another 10 minutes and talked to him, and he's like, I just want to do it. I couldn't do my best to persuade him. I gave him the scripture, and I walked away, and I was kind of down, like, because, you know, it's almost like he's there. But I had to realize something. Although I was sad that he didn't get saved, it's like I did what I was supposed to do. And by the way, maybe he was just like me. Those people that talked to me when I was a teenager and I didn't get saved, but later on, because they did, I did get saved. But I did my job. Now, again, I was sad he didn't get saved. I rejoice when someone does. But again, that's what we need to do. If we're following, say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I don't know how to do that, you have no choice. And I'm not saying that the Bible's telling us that, okay? So if we're following Jesus, will we be fishers of men? Yes. Now, let's be a little negative, and then we'll let you go. I'm not being negative. If we are not fishers of men, are we really following Jesus? We're not. There's too many people who have a bumper sticker, a follower of Jesus, WWJD, PBI, whatever they have on their things now. It's always changing, right? It's like, well, have you ever helped anybody in any way? Nope. Don't tell people you're a follower of Jesus because you're not. Okay? If we're following Jesus, you know, we want other people to follow Jesus. boy, it's a shame, and we're done. It's a shame how much we'll love our basketball team. And we'll talk about them, okay? You know, I like the Lakers. They're not enjoyable, but, you know, I have opinion. Do you want to talk to me about the Lakers? I'll tell you who. I'm not a Lonzo Ball guy. I just don't see it. But anyhow, maybe I'm wrong. But we'll talk to people we don't even know. We got our shirt on, right? Yeah. I was somewhere, and I had a University of Utah shirt on. When we were on vacation, I needed T-shirts. I got one. I was wearing it. Hey, Utah! Well, I have no idea who they are. You know, it's a T-shirt. I was in Utah. I got a T-shirt. But, boy, if I would have talked to them about Utah, it's like, yeah! It's like Mormons, you know, whatever. Okay? But we say we follow Jesus, and we wouldn't talk to other people about that. That's interesting. Okay? It's our responsibility. We just need to learn it if we're struggling with it. All right, let's pray.